Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is SW Pod Sounds and Stories, and you're listening to your new favorite host, Mandy. So, SW stands for CCSISI, Wote, Wote, which means all of us in Swahili, which is the language they speak in Tanzania, which is where I'm from. And this is a podcast where you can engage with commentary on Black music and Black literature from the perspective of a casual reader and everyday listener, just like you. And that's me, by the way. And the reason I say engage is because this is very much like a reciprocal two-way relationship. You can think of it that way, where I am interested in music and books, and hopefully you are too, and you're curious to hear what I have to say, and I'm also curious to hear what you will have to say about the books that you're reading, the songs that you're listening to, and in particular, the themes that we're going to discuss in every episode. So if this is what you're looking for in terms of just casual, light discussion around music and books, then you come to the right place. All right, so this is our shared space, and that's why I've called it CC Wote. The way that every episode works is I discuss a song and a book that share a common theme. Coming up, we have Let Me Tale You, like T-A-L-E, you. Don't let that go over your head. I thought that was a very, very clever title. But that's where you guys have the opportunity to share your thoughts, write in, tell your personal stories, share your anecdotes about the themes that we've been discussing. So as long as we discussed it in any of the episodes, whether that be the theme, the book, the song, anything that comes up for you and you feel like you want to share, Let Me Tell You is the section of the podcast where you can get involved. Then after that, we have sounds. Sounds is where I talk about the song of the episode in relation to the theme. Then we have stories. Stories is where I talk about the book of the episode, also in relation to the theme. And then finally, we round off with soundtracking stories, which is a little gift from me to you, something that you can actually engage with outside of the podcast episodes, which is the playlist of songs that we're going to build that's going to soundtrack our stories. So this playlist is updated every episode with 5 songs, and of course it's going to be related to the theme of the episode. So this week the theme is goodbyes. I gotta go my own way. Shout out to High School Musical, one of the 2000s canonic pieces of film. But the theme of goodbyes basically came up for me because I was at a point in my life maybe about a year and a half ago, about a year or so ago, where there was this constant like occurrence and reminders of my mom. My mom passed away many, many years ago. But last year there were just these constant reminders that kept popping up where I was like, I feel like I need to let my mom go fully, because I feel like I was still holding on to her. And in a way, I was kind of keeping her, not allowing her to continue on in her spiritual journey in whatever the afterlife is, because she was worried about me. And I was like, you know, anxious attachment styles, that's kind of me. So I feel like it was really time to let go for myself, but also like for her to do her own thing in it. So I wanted to kind of explore this idea of goodbyes. And of course, like, we're all familiar with the idea of goodbyes in like our physical existence, like where we are right now on earth, and the heartbreak of it, the opportunity of it, the potential, the sadness, the nostalgia, the bittersweet feelings that come up, like all of these things. And I wanted to explore that in an episode form. So that's why I picked this theme, because I feel like it was such a pivotal experience, and like to kickstart my next kind of journey in my 20s. I feel like that was one of the things that I needed to do in order to, you know, start to develop the new me. So then I started to think about what kind of songs. I'm a musical babe. I usually have a playlist for every single type of mood or something that I'm going through or where I'm at a certain period of time. And one of the songs in the playlist for this mood and era was by a young singer-songwriter of Japanese and African-American heritage. Now, as you know, I like to tease the song and tease the book. So I'm going to share a couple of clues about this specific artist. She's a singer-songwriter and she actually goes by her name, her middle name, sorry, which is translates in English from Japanese to ocean or like the sea. So if you know Japanese, you might already know who it is, but if you don't, then you know, keep listening. But also, even if you guess the singer, you probably won't guess the song. The song is about how can I say this, it's about the bittersweet element of wanting to be remembered, like the bittersweet feelings that you feel when you're like yearning to be remembered by your current lover. So it's kind of like you're preemptively saying goodbye because maybe you know that things are coming to an end or whatever. That's the vibe of the song. Obviously, this artist, well, not, it's not obvious, but I'm telling you, this artist is a very kind of serene, chilled, relaxed kind of delivery and style. So those are a lot of clues. You might not know who it is. If you do, keep listening. If you don't, keep listening. At the end of the day, what you need to do is keep listening. Or watching as well. I'm not really used to this video life, but listening and watching to find out more. So the book. Now, the book is by somebody who I really, really admire. And we're actually going to be kind of discussing two books that they've written, one novel and one short story collection. Not the short story collection in full, just one of the stories, because I feel like it matches up quite nicely with the novel and the theme that we want to discuss today. So, as I said, this author is somebody that I really admire, a woman who speaks truth to power in all senses of the word, like in it's not even all sense of the word in everything that she does. She is a true multi-hyphenate, a pole studio owner, bad girl podcaster, social political commentator, tarot reader, I would even say astrologist, like bare things. Started up a children's home in Lagos, Nigeria, like really, really somebody that wears many hats. And just an overall, for me, a personal inspiration. So yeah, I feel like if you know, you kind of know. If you don't, then keep finding out, because she's just an incredible person that I really, as I said, admire and inspires me. So I can't wait to actually discuss the novel and the short story collection and the theme with her, because we have an interview coming up for you guys. So you lot can enjoy that a little bit later on in the episode. So Let Me Tell You is the first kind of segment that's coming up. And it's your opportunity, as I said, for you guys to get involved in the discussion, actually in the podcast episode. So we want to hear from you guys, your stories, your opinions, your thoughts, just anything that you feel like sharing. But obviously the only rule is that whatever you contribute, it must be connected to one of the previous themes or songs or books or anything that is has been discussed in a previous episode. So it could be a song from the playlist, it could be something that I mentioned about the book that you want to add on to, that you want to dissect, that you want to argue against, that you just want to share, a story that you just want to share, as long as it's from a previous episode in the season, you know, you can get involved. So this week, our Let Me Tell You story is actually, it came in from a friend of mine, and she shared the story of how basically there's this like goodbye for now kind of vibe with somebody that she was talking to, and she sent over a voice note. So we've got that for you now. I'm about to play it. Also, by the way, if I keep looking off camera, I'm looking at my notes.
Through a couple of these themes, so we're going to try and get through them very quickly, because this story really takes you through about almost a year, but we're going to like shorten it down a little bit. There were some gaps in between. So I met what I thought was the love of my life in a club, naturally, as you do. Yes, I do believe you can and like meeting her made me realize what love was, you know?
Hey, meeting her made me realize what love was. Bombo clacky. Anyway, let's keep going.
But then obviously, like most things, you know, shit hit the fan, excuse my French. And we had to say goodbye. But that goodbye was her rejecting me because I kind of realized that I wasn't maybe the most healed as I should have been, or probably, you know, so she kind of rejected me because she felt like I wasn't on the same page as her. So our love story kind of came to an end. And when I say I was heartbroken, wow, you guys don't know heartbreak until you have dated a woman. Jesus, my heart was ripped, guys. It was ripped. It was so bad. But naturally,
she got heartbreak in the story as well. The goodbye is the heartbreak, naturally. Okay, let's go. Okay, so that was the story for Let Me Tell You. And I feel like my takeaway from that story is obviously like my friend's takeaway, although we don't know if she's actually standing on business, but that's besides the point. I feel like my takeaway from the story is that when some, like, we really need to practice the art of letting things go and truly letting them go. When you get caught up on something that is not for you, at least not maybe for now, you're gonna keep getting that lesson pop up repeatedly until you actually finally learn it and stand on business. Because I feel like the second time, okay, maybe, you know, you can fall into that, the memories, the missing, like missing the person. You can also, like, just the heartbreak sometimes can be too much, where you can just spin the block and you're like, I can't even deal with this heartbreak right now. Let me just go back. But, like, you know, actually the author of today's book, this is something I picked up from her, but doing the right thing most of the time actually doesn't feel good, or doesn't necessarily feel good. Doing the good thing, right thing, the thing that you need to do, doesn't feel good, won't feel good for a while, but ultimately that's what you need to do. And I feel like that's the lesson in this story, not to make it too deep, but like actually doing what is good for you doesn't usually feel good. Like, even think about, like, food and things like that, like all the good habits that people want to instill, that takes work, that takes, like, you go through things, through that process of doing what's good for you and developing and building good habits and strengthening yourself as a person. So yeah, I feel like that's my takeaway from this story, is that the goodbyes are necessary because there's ends and there's beginnings, like, and you need that to grow as a person. You need that for your development. So when that goodbye comes at the right time, I'm not talking about self-sabotage and all those kind of things. Like, when that goodbye comes, whether it's goodbye forever or goodbye for that season or whatever, like, I think we really need to take that seriously as much as we can. And as difficult as it is, and as maybe painful as it is and sad as it is, we really need to take that on board and stand on business for real. So yeah, okay, that is Let Me Tell You for this week. If you want to get involved, we have our Google form linked in all our socials at SWPodUK on everything. You can, if you want to, at us at SWPodUK, hashtag SWPodUK, to keep conversations going. If you want to email in, It is swpoduk@gmail.com. That is the email to send in all your contributions. Remember, you can type a maximum of 500 words or a maximum of 2 minutes if you're going to send a voice note, and then we're going to distort your voice. Of course, everything is always anonymous, whether that's through the form, via email, or voice note wise. So yeah, keep sharing, and I'm interested to hear what you lot have to say. Okay, cool. So we're gonna do a quick health check, guys. Let us know how you are, if you're well, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? I am very knackered, actually. I think you can probably tell from my eyes. I had an in-person work conference from Tuesday to Thursday this week, and it was very productive. We got to speak to our colleagues and other teams. It was an internal conference, so it's everybody from within the company, reflect on the past year in our like smaller teams, look forward to like new products, new business models, all of this good stuff. But very, 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 very tiring. I felt like I was smiling for 12 hours. You know, when you have your corporate personality, I feel like I didn't let my full personal, actual Mandy personality out for like 13 hours every single day, 3 days in a row, back to back to back. So it was very socially draining. So that was an experience. I feel like every episode I come here and it's just different variations of I'm tired. But such is life. Life is active right now, so we're thankful, we're grateful, and we're hustling. Okay, cool. Like, let us know how you are, wherever you are, wherever you're on a walk, you're on the train, public transport, in a car, at home, with your mom, your dad, your siblings, your friends, whoever you're with. Let us know how you are. Don't mind if people are side-eyeing you. Let us know how you are. We're checking in on you. This is the family. We care about you. And yeah, man, don't mind them, and just give us the real, real. Next segment is sounds. Sounds is the portion of the episode where I talk about the song of this episode in relation to the theme of the episode, which is goodbyes. I gotta go my own way. No High School Musical. But the song for this episode, if you didn't guess already, is by an artist called Umi, and the song specifically is Remember Me. I love that song. Very, very beautiful song. You're gonna hear a little snippet of it now. Cool. So Umi is a singer-songwriter, as I mentioned in the little teaser portion. Her music is very chill, very mellow, warm, kind of like lo-fi R&B vibes, I would say. And Remember Me, looking at her Spotify and streaming stats, is by far her biggest song to date, and just a personal favorite for me. And I feel like the sound of Remember Me is kind of what solidified the like Umi stamp, in my opinion, at least, of that being very warm, very light, very soft delivery. I would kind of put her into the old R&B world. And most of her stuff has kind of remained consistent with that vibe. For example, Butterfly 2, Why Don't We Go, not necessarily all these songs. So, getting into the commentary for this episode. The song is very wishful. You can feel the distance in the question. Like, you can feel like the space that she's in when she's asking the question. It's directed to we're not clear whether it's a current or ex lover, but will you remember me? Do you remember me? It's kind of going back and forth between where she is now, where she was, where she's looking at being. And there's a lot of like space in the track, I feel like, sonically, and the way that it's set up production wise but also that jumping between present, past, and future type of vibe also creates a space, because it's like it makes it expansive, right? She's not just thinking about like will you remember me right now? It feels like, it's almost like wishful, like, will you remember me in the future? Do you remember me? Like looking back at memories, thinking, do you remember this? But also right now being like, rah, like, do you still remember me? Like, that kind of stuff, like, that mixture of present, past, future, like, as I said, it creates this, like, expansive kind of thought train of thought. And the instrumentation and the backing vocals are quite minimal. So as I was saying, like, sonically, production-wise, that's also where that space comes from. And it creates a sort of atmosphere where, like, these questions are, like, reverberating, like, in the space that it's that is being created. So it's, we don't even really know if it's to somebody, if it's to herself, whether these are internal thoughts like just bouncing around in her mind, or whether this is actually to someone. But it definitely gives the vibe of reflecting, reminiscing, questioning, like seeking, like discovery and exploration. That's, and all of those kind of themes are very open-ended. So again, we come back to the idea of like creating space to explore all of this and question all of this stuff in terms of like their memory, their connection, etc., etc. This is something that I relate to, because once you have your goodbye with your person, there are always those moments where you think back to the past, where you sometimes project into the future how you might reconnect and play with this idea of jumping back and forth. So I know that I'm in my head a lot. I know that I fast forward things, I rewind things all the time when it comes to my relationships with people, particularly romantic ones, because I feel like I don't know, I just like romance. So when that isn't happening necessarily as I would like it to in my real life, I can just go to my imagination and just dream, essentially. And I get transported into this, you know, timeless universe, if that makes sense. So I get the freedom to open up that space and go forwards and be like, well, imagine when we do this and this, and we're gonna go here and do this, and this is the feeling, and this is like what it's gonna look like, and all of this stuff. And then also even though like you have experiences that have happened in the past, but you're still kind of world building and attaching the nostalgia of it and attaching different feelings, because it's a memory, right? So you're not going to have all the details exactly as they were, so you're also projecting but backwards. So all of this to say that when you let somebody go and things come to an end, part of the grieving process, because you are kind of grieving, is to question your memories, your moments that you remember, that you hold dear, just as Umi does, like asking, do you remember me, will you remember me? That refrain that she repeats as the chorus, basically, is because like you're letting things go, but in order to, how do I say this, in order to let things go, you need to also acknowledge that you're still there. So I don't actually always necessarily think it's a bad thing, unless you and then go to act on it, and then it comes up with the thing of like what we were saying before of like standing on business. When things end, you should probably just let them end. But, you know, like part of the letting go process is, you know, being in your little bubble, but then also not forgetting to, you know, reality check yourself. Are you just, as I said, projecting things that weren't there and wishfully putting things in places and like looking through kind of rose tinted glasses? Or are you actually remembering what it was like and what actually caused you guys to say goodbye? What brought the end of that relationship? Because at the end of the day, like, it's okay to look back and look forward and do all that imagining and questioning, but we need to always come back to what it actually is. And you lot said goodbye and that was it, and it's okay, you know. I think part of it is your ego being scared to be forgotten. I know that when we look at goodbyes in terms of like death, like, that is one thing that I used to be scared of when I was younger. It was like, who's gonna remember me? Like, will people remember me? And all these like feelings of anxiety when I thought about that, like my final earthly goodbye or whatever. And that's ego talking. A lot of this questioning and remembering and nostalgia, a lot of it stems from your ego. So and your ego is very, very fragile. Like, it is self-centered. It doesn't really care about always about your actual health of your spirit, your soul, your heart, all of those things that give you energy to continue moving forward in life. Ego just wants to literally be the main focus, main character, always want to be remembered. So it kind of, yeah, it pops up and sometimes it messes up the feng shui. Sometimes it's cute because the memories when you're with your babes and everything was lovely and cushy and sweet, like, yeah, that's cute to look back at, but you have to always remember they are memories, they are, you know, just leave them as that. We have to take a small intermission because the studio is being used, but we're back now. And wrapping up what I was saying about ego is the thing that keeps you anchored in those memories and doesn't keep you actually moving forward and properly cutting it loose, cutting the whatever it is that you're letting go loose and moving on into the new. Because with every goodbye on the other side is the opportunity for development, for growth, and for awakenings. Now, that leads me very, very nicely into our next segment, which is books. Typically, this is where I would be discussing the book of the episode in relation to the theme, which this week is goodbyes. We've said it bare times. And I was teasing the book a little bit earlier on, but actually it's going to be kind of two books by our author, who is, for this week, Kelechi Okafor. As I said, somebody I really admire and look up to, a true, true multi-hyphenate and just an all-rounder, very apt at doing very many things. So enough of me speaking her praises. I'm going to introduce our author. We're going to be talking about her recent novel, her debut novel, Awakened, which came out on the 26th of June 2025, and then touching on one of the stories from her short story collection, Edge of Here. The short story we're going to be looking at is Councilwoman, and this short story collection came out in September of 2023. So let me give a little bit of an actual official intro to our guest for this week. So Kelechi Okafor is a Nigerian-born, London-based lover of words who crafts works of fiction, journalism, stage plays, and screenplays. No matter what form Kelechi's creativity takes, her work remains rooted in globally relevant conversations and events, framed through a lens of understanding that is firmly anti-colonial, anti-white supremacy, and anti-heteropatriarchy. In 2024, Kelechi launched Kaleidoscope, her subscription-based channel, and in the same year, opened a children's home and resource center in Nigeria called Child of Light, inspired by her mother's vision. Known online as at Kaleshnikov, Kelechi is also affectionately known as just a baby girl by her followers, listeners, and community. Kelechi is also the owner of Kaleshnikov Pole Dance Studio, is an actor, a director, a socio-political commentator, a public speaker, and I'm even going to add educator, because through her kind of anti-racism workshops that she's delivered to countless corporations and institutions, and just her general teachings that she shares through social media with us. I think that qualifies her as an educator. She's also a tarot reader and astrologist in my eyes, that I would say, a fantastic podcaster, a host, an interviewer, just, as I said to you, a real all-rounder. And in her debut novel, Awakened, we have themes of which is a sort of sci-fi speculative fiction piece with a sprinkle of dystopia in there, and features themes of fantasy, superpowers, spirituality, technology and AI. There's self-discovery in there. There's faith. There's trust, socio-political events and happenings. And all of these are packed into the story that follows the main character, Pels Badsmus, who goes on a journey of awakening, as the title suggests, and she uses her journalistic prowess to investigate the disappearances of young Black people, including her friend's brother. And on this journey of investigation, she not only uncovers a very sinister and hidden conspiracy behind these disappearances, but also discovers her own unfulfilled destiny. So it's a really, really cool book. I really enjoyed reading it. So getting into the interview now, I'm going to cut to the interview here. We had a lovely and wonderful conversation, as always, very enlightening, very inspiring, and just very real, cute. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. So yeah, I wanted to kind of, first of all, say how much I really respect you, because I've followed you for a while now. I don't know since when, like maybe 2021, something like that. Yeah. But I've learned a lot. Like, I was in uni at that time, went through a very kind of big change of just growing up and going through life. And I was really kind of grateful to have found you at that time, because I feel like as I was like processing who am I, what am I gonna do, all of this stuff, like I was grateful to have kind of you as an example, almost, of like somebody who's just like, okay, I'm gonna be growing and learning and sharing, and it's fine to share and make mistakes and learn and teach others and do all of these things and be multifaceted as well, because I have a lot of interests. Good. I think similar to you, so I was like, yeah, this lady's cool. I'm a follow and keep up with what's going on. But I wanted to start off talking about Edge of Here. So the theme of this episode is goodbyes. That's a very broad theme. But I think one of the stories in Edge of Here that stuck out to me in relation to this theme was Councilwoman. Mm-hmm. Particularly, I knew I wanted to talk about like Councilwoman when I read the kind of description of Simi, like going back into the ancestral realm, like essentially like her dying, but that description was like so beautiful, and it's low-key, it felt like something I had experienced, even though like obviously I'm, you know, still living and breathing, but like in the sense that it was like this leaving of like wherever I was and then emerging into kind of something new, and but also the like kind of remembering aspect of it, like going back to something that I've maybe always been or has always been there. I really like the kind of refrain, this idea of just being in the other room, that Simi and Huda like have, because I think a lot of goodbyes, even in actual death, is still like a see you later, yeah, kind of thing, because of the connection you have like spiritually with just the world and people and loved ones. So I wanted to ask you, what was your perspective on this idea of goodbyes when you were writing Edge of Here, or specifically Councilwoman? what did you understand by that theme of goodbyes?
I'm still understanding it. I'm still learning it, you know, but I feel that at this stage of my life, who knows what I'll think maybe in 5 years' time, that people literally are just in the other room. They're just in the other realm. Our brain can only compute so much. So when somebody leaves their physical body as we know it, it's just like, oh, that's the end. But energy can't be destroyed, right? There was an energy that was moving through them at a point. So where does the energy go? What, it just shuts down? That's it? I don't think so. Like, that energy continues to move even though it's not in a physical body. So that means it has to exist in the realm where energy resides, right? And I don't think that realm is necessarily separate to this one. I think it intermingles, but our brain doesn't want to or doesn't compute it in the same way. We might have brushes with it, and capitalist society, Western society, doesn't really encourage us to think in that way. When you look at other cultures, they go to the grave sites of their loved ones who have passed away, and they go to clean it, they clean the headstones, they take flowers, they have a conversation. They're like, you know, I know that there are numerous cultures or various cultures practice the Day of the Dead. They go and see loved ones, and that is a really, really beautiful thing, because when we fear death, I don't think we really live. Whereas when, if we see it as, you know, we're in this big mansion for eternity, and we move from one room to the other, I think it makes this experience easier to manage.
Definitely. I think one of the things is, like, ego, I feel like, gets scared of that idea that there's an end, or like there's like after this is like I won't be here any longer. But I think, like, framing it in the perspective that is, things are like just like moving into dimension, into temporality as well, makes it kind of okay, because it's like you're still, you've got many journeys and you'll be okay, and you're always okay, kind of thing. Like, there's no end of anything necessarily, like, hard stop.
And some people don't believe that, and they find comfort in that as also. And I think that nobody actually, none of us know the truth, right? True. But I know that I can read a mean tarot card. So if I'm able to do that, where does that come from? Do you get what I mean? Like, what? I guess maybe there are scientific reasons that somebody might come up with a thesis or as to why I'm able to do this. But ultimately, I think that there are some things that, no matter how science explains it, it's still magical.
Yeah, yeah. I was literally having this discussion with somebody the other day, and they were like, they had a kind of, there was a contention between saying that something is magic and magical. Mm-hmm. And whereas I kind of saw them as one in the same thing, like, you're kind of saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. They were like, no, I feel when you say this is magic, or like God is magic, kind of thing.
I get what they're sort of saying, because
I get what they're saying.
Because yeah, it's the semantics, right? Because if I heard something is magic, I would think maybe that's a sleight of hand. It's an illusion. It's like, oh, I've pulled a rabbit out of the hat, but the rabbit wasn't actually in the hat. But when I think about something as magical, I just think it surpasses human understanding. But that's not necessarily how somebody who came up with the term or whatever might identify it, or how it's grown to be known in terms of etymologically. But that's what I would think about. That's how I understand it. It's like colonization and coloniality. One is because of the other.
Yeah, exactly. I was watching a video about, well, kind of the same, like decoloniality and the difference. But okay, my next question. So kind of still on the theme of this, like, see you later version of a goodbye, I want to jump to Awakened, and something that we see towards the end in Marco. I think he's kind of framed as a soulmate, in my opinion. And what kind of purpose do you think soulmates have in kind of the multiple versions of you, or this idea of multiple ego deaths and goodbyes to what was into who you're going to become?
Yeah, I see soulmates in some forms like either midwives or alarm clocks, you know. Some of them are helping to birth a new you, a new version of you. They are there to remind you to breathe as you, as this new version emerges, right? And then there are alarm clocks where just by being around them, you wake up to the fact that I need to change something in my life. Like, this is not right, because there are, and the reason maybe I use the difference in that way is that, or you can even say doorbells and alarm clocks, whichever way you want to look at it. But one, it alerts you at an arrival of something. Sure. The alarm clock can be more jarring. It's like, ah, got to get up for work, or got to get up for school, just got to get up for life, right? Mm-hmm. But the doorbell, it press it, you, somebody rings it. Mm-hmm. It's that choice whether you answer. Same with the alarm clock, really. You could choose to get up or not, just turn it off, right? But the idea of the midwife and having these soulmates that show up as a new you is being birthed, I think is beautiful. And I feel like with my sort of astrological placements, even though some people just don't care for astrology, like the kind of placements I have, which we can either look at it like that, or the kind of way that I have been programmed and evolved through the trauma, that the traumas that I've experienced, means that I tend to gravitate towards people or show up in people's lives when something in them is dying and something new is being reborn. I think that people usually find me, whether it's online or wherever, when something about them, their identity, is about to die and something new, and they just need that surety, that sort of that lighthouse, like I can see this through the storm, I'm just going to head in that direction. So I think in that way, we are so many people's soulmates, right, outside of the romantic sense. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the idea of these alarm clocks, who, it's not a pleasant experience, right? It's not a pleasant experience sometimes, but it's the exact experience that we need in order to wake up to ourselves and realize that something in our life needs to change. So soulmates, when it's not reduced to merely romantic or sexual, and it's just looked at in the sense that somehow these people, your energies align and synergize in such a way that they help you evolve into the best version of you, whether they realize it or not, and vice versa.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, because typically, like you said, like in the romantic or sexual sense, it's very kind of, soulmates are like these glittery, wrapped in all these beautiful colors and things, like people and entities, but like they can be a bit tough.
Yeah, it can be really tough. And people start talking about twin flames and this, that. I don't have time for any of those things. I'm just really like, you know, part of the human experience is that we meet people who aren't too different from ourselves. They might show us aspects of ourselves that we don't really realize, that's in like the peripheries. They show us, oh, this is what you're like too. So sometimes when somebody's irritating me, I think to myself, what about them is irritating me? What do I share in relation to them? Sometimes I just feel like it's nothing, but maybe there's something there, and it makes me, if anything, it makes me realize, oh, I didn't know that could irritate me, or I did know that could irritate me. I'm going to try and, you know, put a boundary in place next time. So at every point, hopefully, we're evolving. And when it comes to Marco, I was very careful with him. I didn't want him to be some kind of savior. I didn't want any men in Awaken to just be yapping away and be at the center of everything. This was really about Pels, right? And this was about Pels, and this was about the missing children. Everybody else needs to fall back, you know. And with Marco, you know, he's that kind of device where you don't really notice him, but then you realize what he's about down the line. And you know, he has his specific thing that he does. I just wanted that to be beautiful, because sometimes what ultimately our soulmates see us in ways that we sometimes don't see ourselves.
Yeah, that's really beautiful, because our soulmates see us is, I think, why the reason why he's like an artist, right? Like that's metaphor, the broader metaphor, which I think is really beautiful. I'm really interested. I hope there's a sequel, because I want to know like what Marco's like trajectory in terms of his, how the synergies are going to work with Pels in terms of like their powers. And yeah,
and there's still cool. So many other people to come into play as well. Yeah. Someone from Edge of Here as well that you. Oh yeah, because we've met somebody else who's a guardian.
So
they, because to me they're not separate. Mm-hmm. Edge of Here and Awakened. So eventually we're gonna see people popping in who basically, it's like in my lore, Edge of Here was the introduction to different people. Mm. That then later on you see them in a longer form elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. You've been writing like the same from Who's Loving You to Yeah, like to Awaken, like everything's like all interconnected.
Yes, and you know that you can absolutely read them separately, but then when you're reading them chronologically, mm-hmm. then you're like, oh,
yeah, wait,
I've been seeing these people, yeah, I've been knowing, yeah. Because in essence, when you mention Who's Loving You, and we think about the Watchers, then we think about the celestial beings who are guiding Pels.
Mm, yes. Celestial beings are a big feature in all of them, actually. All of the several stories. Okay. Wow. This is really cool. So, Awakened, as the title suggests, Pels goes through her own awakening, not only finding out kind of about this like underworld secret society, but also about her own superpowers, and like she kind of leaves that life in London and quite literally leaves the old kind of Pels that we knew there. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if there are any pieces of you that you left in any of the characters, might not be just Pels, but any of the characters.
Yeah, I think a different, all the characters have a bit of me, not just because I wrote them, but just because it's fun to do so. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Bromwich represents my, you know, my aspirations to one day be mayor of London.
Yeah, for sure.
And Pels, my friends call me Kels, you know, there are so many different things, not obvious things, you know, not immediately obvious things that I share with her. That I really wanted to bring out there as well, like somebody really wanting to step into their power, not realizing or doubting themselves and realizing that they have a power that they didn't know of, really, and feeling too small to step into whatever calling is you know, being presented to them. And Marco, because it is that element of like seeing people and being patient until they can see themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that makes up so much of what I've done in the public space. Like, I see what we can be collectively, but I've also at the same time got to be patient as everybody else comes to that realization of their divinity too.
Yeah.
And Dave, because we all have a bit of a prick in us, you know, and a bit of, you know, ignorance and I think that it was just good to have him represented in that way as well.
Yeah, because you don't hate Dave, you're just like, oh, Dave, just
just shut up.
it's okay, we've heard you, Dave,
right?
And sometimes my friends are like that to me. Yesterday, that's what happened to me. But we mentioned celestial beings, and you also mentioned, as when you were just speaking then, about patience, about people waking up to their own divinity. And I think in both like your own, like one's own connection to, say, spirit guides, God, spirit, all of the above, one of the key things is like trusting where you're going, trusting yourself. And even in Awakened, in one of the ceremonies that Pels goes through, she hears this message of trust in yourself and trust in us, right? As in from the celestial beings. So what like kind of role does trust play in, has trust played in the evolution of you up until this point? And how important was that to kind of reiterate in the book that we do need to, Pels needs to trust herself, trust in the celestial beings, and also the messaging to, like, for us to trust in ourselves.
You need to interview me live when I do another event. Like, if I have an event that I can choose my person, I'm going to choose you, because you actually ask questions that show that you've read the book.
Thank you.
Like, I love that question so much. I really, really love it. So because, you know, trust, wow. If I didn't trust, I mean, at one point I believed that I was trusting, and then I had an ayahuasca experience last year that showed me just how enraged I was with whatever energy force is out there, because there are certain things that happened to me in childhood that I thought, well, why the hell would you let that happen then? Like, what kind of being does that? What kind of being does that and says, well, it's part of your purpose, because, I mean, look at you now, look at you go. And it's like, well, no, could I not have arrived at this stage without having gone through all of that? Who knows? Maybe not. Yeah. But then trust continues, it persists. I have to trust in order to even be able to do the tarot readings that I do, because sometimes people will push back, you know, they'll say, I don't think that that's about me, that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And trust that what I've seen and what I've intuitively communicated is what has come through for me, and just leave that alone. And always, every single time, I'll get an email message, DM down the line, they're like, yep, you got me, you were right. Yeah. And I've become more trusting of that, not arrogant that I can't ever be wrong, but trusting that no, what I'm seeing is correct, you know. And just having the patience to let it be. I think that if I didn't trust, I don't know how I would have continued. Some days I'm filled with a lot of dread, like, where are we headed as a society? Like, what of all the things that people praise me for doing, why aren't I where I think I should be in terms of my career and my life, right? And trusting that no, the trajectory I'm on is the best one for me.
Yeah.
And not looking left and right at what other people are doing or what I perceive to be markers of success, just letting it be what it is. And sometimes seeing the utter depravity of the global governments, and knowing that so many more violences are imminent, if I didn't trust that we could make it through that, then I just think I would have just given up. Not necessarily like taking my own life or anything like that, but more so like, fuck it, like, just whatever then, like, just let everything burn. But the trust is what keeps me going. I think some people maybe call it faith, they call it this, I don't know what that is, but I trust in myself that I want to keep showing up, I want to participate in whatever makes this world better.
Wow, very beautiful, very powerful. And I think that comes through, because you do feel Pels's kind of hesitation in the kind of first half of the book. It's like, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. And then slowly you can feel that she becomes more self-assured, and even though there's not a sense that she's like, this is what we need to do, like, this is the solution, there's just more assuredness in her steps, I feel like, as she as we go towards the end of the book, which I guess maybe is reflective of your own journey as well.
Like, you don't know. You don't know every time. Sometimes things happen and I go to comment on it or to make a video or whatever, and I'm like, I guess so. I mean, I don't know whether I'm the person to speak on this, but I'm going to give it my best shot. And even how I ended up building the children's home in Nigeria, it's sometimes like I fall into things, but while I'm there, I'm just like, if not me, then who? Might as well
give it a go.
Yeah,
exactly. So my next question is, so we know Pels discovers her superpowers. Are there any superpowers of your own that have discovered since writing? And how would you, if somebody wanted to discover their superpowers, how would you advise that person to do that?
Yeah, I think our superpowers are usually found in what we fear the most.
Okay.
You know, because for me, that was my thing, might be like running out of time, right? And so then my superpower becomes patience. And I've been able to see that play out, especially with writing Awakened, that so many different aspects of writing a book and having to work with other people to bring something to life, it can really frustrate you. And then you've got to practice this patience. You've got to practice patience when people get things wrong. You're like, but why are you getting that wrong? Haven't you been doing this for ages? Like, what is all of this? It comes in really handy for somebody that doesn't necessarily read themselves as a patient person.
Interesting. Wait, so mine, I hate small talk. So what's going to happen to my, need to think about that one.
That's
my,
it. If you, yeah, like, but then you hate, but you don't fear it.
I don't know.
No, it's something that you fear.
Okay.
It'll be like, yeah, I think that that's it, because it'll be the antithesis of that thing. It'll be the it'll be the medicine to that poison, right? Yeah. It'll be something very sort of like, and then you find that is the thing that helps.
Dang. Wow. Okay, I need to sit on that one. I don't want to expose myself here today. Okay, I'm going to shift slightly into questions that I kind of have a broader application, even though everything that you said right now, anybody can take that and, you know, can resonate. But lost my train of thought. Okay, lock back in. So I've heard you say in multiple instances, because I've been to loads of interviews and in conversations of yours, that writing, and I think specifically you were talking about Edge of Here, that writing has been a process of channeling messages, right? Which you also do, I guess, in reading tarot, right? It's a similar kind of skill. So what messages came through when writing Awakened for, like, us as a collective, if any?
I think ultimately the message that came through was that there are, as we are seeing, some bad faith actors who act together globally. How can all of these governments be globally, like, working together for to help a particular entity continue to oppress people? It's because they're going to, after they feel like, if their plan goes the way they want it to, after they finish doing this, then they'll look at other places that they're going to collaborate on and say, yeah, we're going to take that too, and we're going to take that too, and we're going to take that too. So it's so important for us to understand that none of us are free while anybody else is unfree. And so what's happening in Palestine is an African issue. You know, because if we look at Congo, if we look at Sudan, it is our issue, because they're linked. These people are working together. These governments are working together. And so, yes, in this instance, I'm talking about the disappearing children. But it's interesting that the same theme can be found, the same pattern can be found in America as well, of missing black children and it just being ruled as unsuspicious. There's something more sinister and at play than our minds could possibly comprehend. There is a reason that the nastiest people are being acquitted of the things that they've been charged with or accused of, because all of the people in power do the same thing. And we really need to sit with that. And it's going to scare us and might make us, you know, crash out or think that, no, we can't overpower this. We can't do anything. But there's way more of us than there are of them. And so ultimately, PELS is a practice in exercising our imagination, because we're going to need it to be fully functional for when we have to reimagine the type of world that we want to live in.
Very much agree. What was I going to say? Okay, connected to this idea that we're going to need to rebirth and rebuild. I feel like destruction is a strong word, but it's not unfathomable that, you know, a lot of things could come crashing down and burning.
But they have to. Even our fear of the word destruction, right? But it has to, because everything is tainted by what has been and what is crumbling. It's all tainted by it. So we have to destroy. in Lauryn Hill Unplugged, there's a line where she says, "We must destroy in order to rebuild. Wake up, you might as well." Like we have to. That is the scary part, because that we seem to think that, you know, it's like the prison system. Oh, we're just going to reform it. The police, we're going to reform it. There's no reform possible. You have to destroy the entire thing.
Yeah, and start again. Yeah.
And start again. And that's the scary part, because people are like, well, let's keep some bits because I'm too scared ultimately of having to start from scratch. I don't know what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. Whatever it's going to look like, I promise you it's going to be better than this.
True. I mean, yeah, if we actively, you know, take hold of thinking about what we actually want and what we don't want, because I feel like you can very easily just rebuild the same thing in just a different font, in a different color scheme.
Absolutely, because we haven't gotten rid of the colonial mentality within us. With whatever we've internalized, that's the most dangerous thing. Like, we can knock down as many statues of idiots, colonial pricks as possible, but if the thinking that they, because, you know, like they say that you can kill a person but you can't kill a movement. So there are so many people who have come in the name of white supremacist heteropatriarchy and they've come and gone, but the thought, the ideology still remains. If the ideology is still prevalent within us, then absolutely we're just going to build the same thing but wonky.
Exactly. So staying on the theme of goodbyes and building new worlds, what is one, try to be specific, but there's a lot of things that you're looking forward to saying goodbye to in this old world and, you know, hoping to get rid of in like the new emerging reality where hopefully things work better?
Britain.
Just in the bin.
The whole just thing. Entirely Britain. In the bin, absolutely. No.
Yeah.
The package that Britain has exported, sold to the rest of the world, this specific brand of supremacy that is sold to the world, and people have gone hell for leather to, you know, customize for themselves. I want to do away with that. I want to do away with colorism. I want to do away with fat phobia. There are so many things I want to do away with, because it's just like, I know personally that it's taken me so much work to be able to look in the mirror and not immediately go to criticize myself. And that's me, who people see as a strong-minded, strong-willed individual. Yeah, I go through it. So what are other people going through who might not be as, I don't know, internally stubborn as I am? It's unfair. It's unfair to live a life feeling that you're not good enough, and knowing that the reason you feel that way is because of the way that value has been placed on certain features, and that's been done specifically by that's been done by particular governments and systems for a reason, to just never feel good enough. Like, why is it that when you hear a guy go, oh, I've got a girl, she's a mixed race girl or light skin girl, like that, how is that, like, that's praised? I hope that is done away with.
Yeah, Britain and colorism, good starts. Fat phobia, very good starts. I think I'm trying to think what I would get rid of. I think capitalism is really doing us. It's really, really doing us. Even like just me on a personal level, how I like view productivity and like this constant thing of like, I have to make use of my time, but somehow all of these making use of my time is like monetizing something or this, doing that. I feel like it just... feels like you never switch off.
Yeah, it's the commodification of our magic, like our, like the thing that of our essence, the commodification of our essence. Like, rest seems like unfathomable. Why am I resting? Or maybe I should make content of me resting and advise other people to rest. Well, then you're not resting, are you?
Scream.
You've attached a camera to the top of your bed or to the ceiling, and you've sat in bed, and then you've gone to get out of bed and put the camera at another angle and got back into bed. Right. and then set the camera up, and you've sat on a yoga mat and you've breathed two times, and then you've gone and edited it and added music, and then you've spoken softly and you've put it out there and said, wow, yeah, look at me saving the world, getting them to rest.
Oh, scream, that is so funny. Yeah, it's, yeah, everything is like, I say, like, you can, yeah, you can commodify literally anything these days, and I don't think that's a good thing in a sense, because sometimes just be and live,
just be, like, don't let capitalism have you all the way up, like, and this is why I have firm boundaries, like, I don't post my son. Do you know how much money I could potentially make if I was posting a little mixed race boy as a black mother online? I would this one, I'm shouting, I want 2.5 million, I would have that and more by now if I did that. But is that right for me personally? I'm not chatting about anybody else, but is that right for me? No, right? I'm currently learning to play guitar. I could find a way to vlog that and monetize it. No, I had a monetized podcast that was public and I still walked away from it, right? Because there was something about showing myself that I can walk away from anything and do it again, because that's the kind of bad man that I am. I anywhere I touch, I can do whatever I need to do there, but not everything needs to be monetized.
Real, very real. Yeah, I feel like I want to end it on that note. We want to let go and all the things that we're hopeful that will emerge and become our new realities. So I have one final bit, one final question. Mm-hmm. So we have a segment. I say we. Should I say we or should I say I?
We works.
We work.
Manifesting, yeah.
Paper.
You're the community.
Yes. Clock it. Come on. we have a segment called Soundtrack and Stories, which is where I add five songs to our ever-growing playlist, and each episode obviously is thematic, so the songs will be related to the theme. So I wondered if there are any songs related to goodbyes that you would like to add to the playlist.
Usher, Separated.
Ooh, that must be a deep cut. I don't even know that one, but you know me, I'm a noughties baby.
So. Yeah, no, that's a big tune. He says, why don't you go your way and I'll go mine? Live your life and I'll live mine. Baby, you do well, I'll be fine, because we're better off separated. Girl, I know we've had some good times. It's hard, but now we've got to say goodbye. Girl, you know I love you, I can't deny. Can't say we didn't try to make it work for you and I. I know it hurts so much, but it's best for us. Somewhere along this winding road, we lost the trust. So I walk away so you don't have to see me cry. It's killing me, so why don't you just go your way? And I really love that, because it is just that, knowing that you're better off going your leaving certain things behind.
This episode is even called, the full title is Goodbyes, I Gotta Go My Own Way. So I
look at that.
That is
literally ever channeling.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope the questions were.
And thank you for my French bloom.
Yes.
And the listeners know, Mandy hooked me up. I love that wine. I don't know what they put in it, but they got it absolutely right. Not me bigging up two white women making wine. Oops. But it slaps on a different level.
Yeah.
Non-alcoholic wine. It's beautiful. Because some of them just taste like vinegar.
They do.
But once I found that one, I was like, no, I'm in love. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving that behind.
Listen, you got to big people up when they do good things. So
yes,
that's it. But thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so thank you so, so much to Kelechi for coming on to the episode. As I said, we had a lovely, lovely, lovely conversation and discussion. As ever, so insightful, learned so much, and plenty of gems in there that you can go back and listen to and make notes. And yeah, just amazing. So now we're going to move on to Soundtracking Stories. As I said before, this is a little gift for me to you, something that you can engage with outside of the actual episodes. And it is our playlist, where every episode we add five new songs that are connected to the theme of that episode. Of course, we've said it multiple times, the theme for this episode is goodbyes. So we're going to start off with the first song all of these first four songs are around the goodbyes in a relationship sense. So like breakups, endings of whatever dynamics, romantic dynamics, situationships, that kind of thing. So the first one is Numa Kitpa by Nina Simone, Nina Simone's version of Numa Kitpa. And the song really just goes into the denial and avoidance in like a overdue goodbye. So that's the scenario. So one of the lyrics, it is like the opening kind of verse, is il faut oublier tout peut s'oublier. Excuse my French, that is actually that pronunciation, let me not fight the language. Il faut oublier tout peut s'oublier qui s'enfuit déjà, and then there's some words in between. Oublier ses heures qui tuaient parfois à coup de pourquoi. I don't know if the intonation was correct. I said all the words, but maybe it came up a bit higiaga. But the translation is, we can forget, everything can be forgotten. Look, it's already gone. Forget these hours that sometimes killed with whys and wherefores. And I think it's just waking yourself up to the fact that this goodbye is overdue. So I feel like that's the essence that that song is capturing specifically, especially with those lyrics. The next one on the list is I'm Leaving by Alex Vaughan. This song is kind of about the moment that you clock the toxicity and you're like, damn, it's time to go. Time to wrap it up, hang it up, flat screen. Like, she says in the song, you bring me joy, but even more pain. And I feel like when I'm with you, I lose more than I gain. And I think that can keep us going for a long time, holding on to the little drips of light and hope that you see, but forgetting the perspective of like, yo, like when I actually zoom out, I'm losing way more than I'm gaining in staying in this dynamic, in this relationship. Alex Vaughan was actually talking about a friendship I listened to. She has an album called Voice Notes, like it's the voice notes version, so there's all the songs and then there's kind of her explaining like a little bit behind each song. And she was talking about the fact that this was actually a friendship that had, you know, gone sour, and she realized that it's time for her to cut. So that's why I included it here. Next song is It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday, Boys to Men. And the song is truly about letting go of the past. One of the lyrics is, I thought we'd get to see forever, but forever's gone away. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. A really bittersweet song. Literally almost brings me to tears every single time. And it's definitely a song that if I want to cry that day and I want to just let out all my emotions, this is the song. I might not even be going through necessarily like a breakup or something, letting go of something, but it just gets me every time. It's such an emotive and heartfelt song. The last one, excuse me, in this theme of like relationship endings is Lost One by Jasmine Sullivan. It's really a mournful song about the end and the loss of whatever you were in or whatever you had. So Jasmine Sullivan says, don't have too much fun without me. Please don't forget about me. Try not to love no one. And I feel like it's a little bit of that ego, but it is really the heartbreak and the pain. I don't know why I'm smiling, but it's like, it's really the pain of it, that visceral feeling. You know, the beginning of heartbreak, you actually feel like your heart hurts. It actually feels like it's breaking. And I feel like it's that trying to grasp at those pieces just as you realize everything's crumbling. And yeah, it's very, very deep and sore. I feel like that's what I get from Lost Ones by Jasmine Sullivan. And then actually, we got two more songs. We got one final fifth song, and then we got like an extra special mention. So this goodbye is more in the sense of loss, and I feel like it's not necessarily romantic. It can be loss of self, it can be loss of someone that you've loved, as in they've passed on, loss of an opportunity. It can be loss of something, it can be loss of many things, but it's that idea of losing something and letting it go, saying goodbye to something that's not necessarily a relationship. And it is Goodbyes by Georgia Smith. And I feel like this is a song about the acceptance of loss. So Georgia Smith says, you're never coming back down. You belong to the stars and the clouds. Goodbyes, good times. L-O-V-E was all for you. And I think this song is very clearly about somebody who's passed on. But that feeling of like, you're really gone, or this is really gone, or this is really over, or I'm not that person anymore, or all of these things, is that acceptance and the settling in of that new, like the new blank canvas to start afresh and begin. But it's very bittersweet. It almost makes you want to cry and smile all at the same time, like just a very soft, gentle smile while that one tear drops. That's how that kind of feel. That's kind of how this song makes me feel, is that duality of having both of those feelings there, the bitterness and the sadness that this is gone or somebody's gone, and at the same time the warmth that you feel when you look back at those good times and all the love that it was filled with. And then my extra special mention for this episode is still on the theme of like goodbyes in the sense of loss, and it is Open Light by Elmeen. I love, love, love Elmeen. What a amazing artist, beautiful voice, beautiful lyricist, like chef's kiss. Anyway, I feel like Open Light talks about the hopelessness in grief. Grief can sometimes feel like you're drowning and it feels like it's endless and it will be forever, and you feel so powerless and hopeless sometimes. So Open Light, hold me as you leave. I believe, help me see, we're not just made to suffer, show me the way to prosper. So those are lyrics from the song, and it just, the imagery it brings up for me is just being at sea, the strength of the currents being the grief, the emotional whirlwind of, bro, my English is, don't worry, I'm tired. We'll get together for next episode. But the emotional whirlwind that is just wrapping you up, and it's so strong and powerful. And there's nothing really you can do because you're really fighting against the elements, like you're at sea. But also that feeling of stretching out your hand, like towards like the sun, the light, to just grasp onto something to keep you afloat, keep your eyes on the horizon type of vibe. Because there's nothing else you can do. Like you don't feel like you can swim at the moment. You don't have that energy. You're really praying and reaching out to, if you believe in God, you're reaching out to God, but you're just reaching out to something to just help you. And you're staying in that zone of belief. There's nothing concrete to attach yourself to. You're out at sea, but you're keeping that hope and grasping at that light, to help pull you out or give you some energy to pull yourself out. I love that song, Open Light. Again, another one of those songs where it's like, when I'm in my feels and I'm just ready to ball out. Not ball out. Ball, as in balling. But ready to shed big, big tears and just be in my feelings, I put on Open Light by Elmeen because it's just such a heartfelt song again. And that is our six songs. Apologies, this week we had an extra one, but I just felt like all these songs are so beautiful and had to go in the playlist, in my opinion. But if you got anything else that you want to add to the playlist, any other songs, any other recommendations, not just in terms of songs for soundtrack and stories, of course you can share those with us, but also for books, for themes that you, other themes that you want, thought we should have discussed, for other songs that you think could have been better suited to this episode, for anything that you want to contribute, make sure you're adding us at SWPodUK on all socials. Use the hashtag SWPodUK. Let us know your thoughts and get involved with the discussion. So that is it for this episode. Thank you so, so much for listening all the way to this point. I really appreciate you lot. This is SWPod Sounds and Stories, and you can find us on all podcasting platforms if you type exactly that, SWPod Sounds and Stories. Follow us on socials to keep up with everything SWPod. So I've said it before, it's at SWPodUK on everything. That's Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, X, aka Twitter, SoundCloud, everything. And if you want to be featured on Let Me Tale You, TALEU, don't let that go over your head, then you can send in your stories, your thoughts, whatever it is, via DM on our socials. We've got a form on our socials, it'll be in all our links. We've got an email you can send them to as well, that's swpoduk@gmail.com. and don't worry, these will always be anonymous. You can either write 500 words, or if you feel like yapping, just like me, you can send us a voice note, 2 minutes maximum. Remember, the rule is whatever your contribution is, it has to be linked to the theme of one of the episodes. And of course, if you send a voice note, we're going to distort your voice, so you will not be identifiable. So make sure you lock into the next episode to hear more casual commentary on a song and a book that share a common theme. From me, a casual reader and everyday listener just like you, I've been your host Mandy, and you've been listening to SWPod Sounds and Stories. See you lot in the next one.